Good morning. I'm very excited to be with you today. For me, this is an amazing opportunity. I'm so grateful to this church for supporting someone like Wissam and his ministry in Lebanon. I was one of the decision makers, if you like. I'm not charging him anything for this, but have to say it, part of the decision makers who chose him to be the president of ABTS. And we did so unanimously convinced of God's choice of God's man. We're very excited and encouraged by the Lord's choice, to be honest, because he was on no one's radar. We were thinking in different direction, different names, different people, and then all of a sudden he shows up on the radar, and we said, this is the man. Behold the man. So we're very grateful to City Center for supporting him and his beautiful wife and family. His wife is also very involved in ministry and relief through the Baptist Society, Thimar. What a blessing to have them as part of those serving in the Middle East. You know, I was just sitting here listening to him speak, and it came to my mind that this young man could be living here in Canada, living comfortably. He's very smart. He can do anything he sets his mind to do. He could be just living here away from war and fear and all of that. And then he chooses by God's grace and guidance on his life, he chooses to invest his life in young men and women for the Middle East to go out. And then I thought about the students of ABTS. I shared with the early service about one of them, but then I thought, there's a lot more than just one. And I could think just of the students that I supported over the years through my ministry as graduates of ABTS. They have planted more than 30 churches in that region. So what a blessing. What a blessing to have someone that you know, you love, you support, investing his life in these young people. And like I said this morning, we'll never know the real impact until we get to heaven. And don't be surprised, someone walking up to you and saying, you're from City Center? Yes. You supported a man named Wissam? Yes. I'm here because of him investing his life in X, who planted the church, shared the gospel, I got saved. Wouldn't that be exciting? Yeah. I think we're all going to go through something like this when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. On a numerous different levels, we will be rejoicing in the Lord. Well, enough is being said. Let's go to God's word. By the way, I have to say something. I have judged you're a real Baptist church, and I know you're going to ask, why do you say that? For two reasons. This is my measure of a Baptist church. You have a clock staring the preacher in the face, and then you have good coffee. So, having said that, now I can go to God's word. All right, Acts 13. I'll read the first four verses. Would you stand up with me for the reading of God's word? Starting with verse 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Please be seated. Let me start by quoting John MacArthur in reflecting on this passage. He said, "There is much truth in the humorous adage that some people make things happen, others watch things happen, while still others are left wondering what is happening." What is true of individuals is true also of churches. Some churches are dynamic. And let me say, this one is one of those, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Dynamic, aggressively seeking to share the gospel with the world. Just in a few minutes, the pastor is going to be praying and commissioning a missions team going to Guatemala. This is a dynamic church. This is a church on the move, trying to reach the world. And that's not the only missionary thing this church is doing. Wissam is another example, and others, I'm sure, are also. Now, there are other churches that just barely exist. They languish spiritually and have no vision. And they're wondering why a church like City Center is so active and so full and reaching people and touching lives. Unfortunately, because these churches are simply not listening. We have an example in the text that I read of a church that listened. It all starts when the Spirit calls. The Spirit calls. The Holy Spirit was active, and the church was listening. Hey, listen to me, friends. There are churches that are not listening anymore. They will listen to culture. They will listen to what the world will say. They want to look good vis-a-vis the world. They want to be politically correct. But they're not listening to the main source, to the main speaker, the Holy Spirit of God. They're not saying what Samuel said, "Speak, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak. We're listening." The Spirit calls. Look at the text. He says, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me." And the church heard the voice of the Spirit because they are fully engaged in service. And by the way, the word we read, service, could also be translated worship. Depends on what translation you read of the text. They're fully engaged, fully engulfed in worship, fasting. And you know, obviously, when you talk about fasting, you're talking about prayer. They are fasting and praying, asking the Lord, "What would you have us do?" That's the right practice. You see, God can and will only speak to a busy church. Busy exercising the gifts, Busy in worship and service, busy in seeking his guidance through fasting and prayer. Have we lost that art of fasting and prayer and waiting upon the Lord to make his will known to his people? Well, they had the right practice. They also had the right purpose because the Holy Spirit set the agenda. The Bible says, the Spirit said, set apart these men for me for the work. The work. It's already identified. It's already known. Listen to Paul reflecting in later years in the book of Galatians on that specifically. He says, but when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order, here's the agenda, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Wow. The agenda has already been set even before Paul was born. To preach the gospel. What an amazing and sovereign God. The action plan for us today is already set. Go to the Bible. And you'll read the agenda fully described in God's word. That's the right purpose. But mind you, the Holy Spirit chose the right people. He said, set apart for the work to which I have called them, specifically. Set apart Barnabas and Paul. Why? Well, if you just roll back to chapter 12 in Acts, you will read at the end of the chapter that the Bible tells us that Saul then and Barnabas had fulfilled the work in Jerusalem that the church sent them to do. So they were tested and tried. They knew they can get the job done. The Holy Spirit knew that they can get the job done. But they were also gifted and supported by the Spirit. You see, when the text listed all these men in the church, he calls them prophets and teachers. They already were gifted with the gifts of the Spirit, but not only that, they were called by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. And if you go through chapter 13, at least three times, we know for a fact that the Holy Spirit comes on to the stage to empower those men to do the work of ministry. So there were the right people. Now, in view of the Spirit calling, the church responded. The church responded. There was an old American advertisement on television several years ago. I know this will date me, but that's okay. It was about an investment firm, E.F. Hutton. And this was the commercial for E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Now the church listened. When the Holy Spirit speaks, the church listens. You see, there was that right process. The Bible tells us after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them. And we know that fasting was not just to abstain from eating food, but rather to be in a spiritual frame of mind. giving time to spiritual things, seeking God's direction for a new season of life and ministry. The Holy Spirit not only spoke what he wanted, but the church was now seeking how to do what the Holy Spirit wanted. And then there's a beautiful little detail that is added to all that, is when they laid hands on them. We take that kind of in passing, but to me that has a lot of importance. It's the church, and this is what your pastor will do at the end of the service when he prays for the missionary team. It's the church saying, we support you, we're behind you, we're committed to pray for you. Go forward. Go out into the world. Having chosen the right people, put them through that process, there was the right perception of what it means, what all this means. The Bible tells us that the church sent them off. And the actual word in the Greek means basically to set to liberty, to release. In our vernacular, we say, cut the cord. You release them. You see, Paul and Barnabas were not hired. They didn't even volunteer. They didn't go through a recruitment process. In other words, the Spirit calling them meant that they belonged to the Spirit of God. They were under the control of the Holy Spirit. And since he had already sent them, set the agenda, all the church could do was cut the cord and let them go. And this has a lot of significance, friends. This is something that meant they trusted the provision and the protection of God for these missionaries. It was an act of faith. And today, when you commission them, when you pray for them, that's exactly what you're doing. You're entrusting this team and the other missionaries that this church supports and prays for, you're entrusting them to the provision and protection of God. A lot of people ask me, what would you like us to pray for? I love the letter P. You notice all my points are alliterated with the letter P. I say the three P's of prayer. Pray for perseverance. The greatest challenge for a missionary is to persevere. The road can get tough. The challenge is difficult. Satan is on the attack. Discouragement. Yet somehow the Holy Spirit of God helps us persevere. Then I say, pray for perseverance, pray for protection, and pray for provision. So remember these three. Well, the church responded. Now we come to the third part of all of this. The laborers acted. No waste of time. There was the right posture, immediate obedience. In verse 4, we read, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down. They went to do what the Holy Spirit have called them to do. People need to hear the gospel. We don't have the luxury of time. We need to go out, reach the world, preach the word. Who's behind you? Who's your sending agency? The Holy Spirit of God. They didn't have a fundraiser. You see, a church that hears the voice of the Spirit fasts, prays, empowers, releases its missionaries is a church that supports its missionaries. Basically, it's putting your money where your mouth is. You see, in Paul's case, he tells us later that he did not consult with anyone. He acted immediately. There was immediate obedience. But there's also not only the right posture of obedience, but there was the right principle of accountability. Being accountable to the local church. How do we know that from the text? Because if we read on into chapter 14 of the book of Acts, the end of the chapter, the Bible tells us that when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared that God, all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. They gave basically a report. That's what he's telling us. They were accountable to the local church. That's the church's involvement. They were transparent. Maybe there were challenges, difficulties, but there were also blessings. People got saved. People came to Christ. And that's what makes the church rejoice and continue to support the work of missions. Now, sometimes, maybe unfairly, we expect immediate results. We are a generation that lives in the fast track. We're a generation that invented the term fast food. Everything should be done fast, fast, fast. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way on the mission field. William Carey, the father of missions, modern missions, waited 7 years as he served in India to win his first convert to Christ. 7 years. Would you have persevered 7 years to see someone come to Christ? It's difficult. But that's what separates men from the boys. Perseverance. And I'm challenging the team this morning. I'm telling you, you may not see immediate results, but don't despair. God in his own timing. Several years ago, I was witnessing to a computer engineer who visited my office trying to sell me computers. And as I shared the gospel with him, I said, "Let me give you this New Testament for you to read." And I could see tears in his eyes welling up. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "You know what? 20 years ago, I was studying in Belgium at university. And someone stopped me on the street, shared the gospel with me, and gave me a New Testament. I ignored it. I didn't read it. I didn't touch it." He said, 20 years. And God has been chasing after me. And today, he gives me another New Testament. Friends, don't despair. You plant the seed. God in his own timing will bring forth fruit. And it will be plenty of fruit. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we are laborers with him. It's a co-mission. We're doing mission with God, working with God. What a privilege. It means he's there to work with you. He may be the boss, the foreman, if you like, but he's working there with you, beside you. He will walk ahead of you. Most importantly, he will walk behind you. He'll bring up the rear, the results. He will pursue the results. The Holy Spirit will pursue the results. He will make sure the seeds are planted firmly in the soil, because in his own time, he'll bring forth fruit. Paul defines this beautiful aspect of the ministry. He says, for we are God's fellow workers in 1 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, he says, we're working together with him. So the team is working together with the Lord, so much as the church is working with the Lord. You are the senders. Just as the Holy Spirit sends, he does it through the human element, the Lord's church, just as he did in Acts 13. And today, you are living that experience again. What a joy, what a blessing. Always be mindful of that. You are co-laborers with God. Are we up to the task? When these people, the team comes up to be recognized and prayed for, in your heart, let me encourage you, say, Lord, let this not be the last time we send teams or missionaries. What would you have me do, Lord, to encourage this or even be a missionary myself? You never know what the Holy Spirit will tell you. You'd be surprised. Let God speak to your heart this morning. And let this church be a church on the go, for the sake of the gospel and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Just as the first church prayed, what would you have us do? May this be your prayer this morning. How would you like us to do it, Lord? Speak to your church, and your church is listening. Father, in Jesus' name I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead our hearts this morning to follow the example of the first church. The world is in need of Jesus, of the gospel. May this church heed the call and go forth with joy, face the challenge, and see people come to Christ. See results that have eternal impact. We love you, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.